Hello and welcome to another weekly podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. If you're in the Mankato area, join us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and again at 10:30 a.m. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at mankatohilltop.org. Best of all,
God is with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Barb Keith. I've been a member here since 2010. And I was just thinking this morning that this is the longest I've ever been at any specific church. So I'm happy to be here. It's a great place. I'd like to share my faith journey with you today. I'm just going to set this down because I don't want it to get in my way. Okay, so I'd like to start with the scripture, Micah 6:8. This is a scripture that I memorized when I was in fifth grade, but I didn't really understand the full import of it until recent decades when it's become very important to me. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And the second scripture we're going to read is from Romans 12. It's the part about the body of Christ and the different gifts that people have, which is also something that I've come to embrace more as the time goes on. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So this is going to be a very quick summary of 66 years in 20 minutes or something. So here we go. When I was a kid, I went to church every Sunday with my family. And I just wanted to remind you that when I was confirmed in junior high, I said that vow that we do at membership. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord. To which I answered, I do. But through the many decades of my life, that has looked different than it did when I was in junior high. In my college years, I was involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And the important thing that I took away from that was I'm just concerned about my mic and the noise it's making, so I don't know what I can do. In college, I learned how to have a daily quiet time, read the Bible and pray every day, study the Bible. And I did that for many, many years until having kids got in the way. And then after college, I met Art quite soon after that and started dating him and just wasn't really sure. I mean, that was a big decision to get married. I wanted to make sure I was right, so I prayed to God, okay, God, the only way I'm going to know if this is right is if I open myself up to the possibilities. And so if I do that, then you're going to have to close the door if it's not what you want. Well, here we are, 42 years later, so I think it was a good choice. When we were dating, one of the things we talked about, he had already lived in Sweden before I met him, and he told me that he told God he wouldn't go back alone. So God sent us back to Sweden then after he finished seminary. And so it was really something to know that I was an answer to God's prayer just by being who I was. And I do think that God has a good sense of humor because I majored in French, not Swedish. So the important lesson I learned from living 4 years in Sweden was to think in a different perspective. The Swedes have a different culture, and they, you know, phrase things differently. They just look at life differently. And the fact that I've lived in another culture where where I've learned that there's not only one perspective in life. That's been colored my perspective, and it's made me realize that the people who haven't experienced that don't have that knowledge. They've only got the one perspective that they can look at life through. So after we were 4 years in Sweden, we moved to Renville, which was another cross-cultural experience because I'd never lived in a town of 2,000. And I was home with our girls because there really weren't professional kind of jobs available there besides teaching. But there's a couple of things that I want to lift up about our time there. One of the things was that I had a friend who was a public health nurse, and my daily walking goes back to when Carissa was a baby in a stroller and I was pregnant with her sister, and Mary Kay and I would walk to the post office every day with our strollers. So we talked about, you know, her job as a nurse. I said, well, you know, it might be interesting to be a nurse, but I don't want to work nights and weekends. She said, oh, if you can be a public health nurse, you don't have to work nights and weekends. So that kind of planted a seed in me of being a nurse. And then I also went on the walk to Emmaus when we lived in Renville, and that was a very powerful experience. The two things that I took out from that was, one, there were speakers who whose faith was living. They shared talks about how God was working in their lives every day, and I didn't hear people talk like that in my normal life, and I just was so excited about that and hoped that I could be able to do that one day. And the other thing was that, again, I was praying during that weekend, God, if you want me to change careers, now's the time, because I'm off and I'll need some to be up to date on my knowledge when I go back to work. So guess what? We got moved to Rochester. So there was my answer. I went to school and got a nursing degree there and a public health license. I thought I would work in WIC. But they told me I needed experience, so I ended up working in home care. And when we were in West Concord, Art led us in a 36-week disciple Bible study course. And that was the first time I'd ever looked at the Bible as a whole unit with big themes. And that was a new, really insightful for me and has helped me since then as I've studied more. From there, we went to Springfield, and I had a job lined up at the hospital, but it didn't work out. I didn't stay there very long, but I learned how to poke IVs. So this skill was something that I used later in home care and long-term care when I had to do lab work for people, except then we never had, you know, good lighting in the homes or people with good veins, but I figured it out. The other thing, and when we were in Springfield, we had a seminar one weekend with some other churches. It was called Life Keys. And one of the things we did in there was to try and discern what our spiritual gifts were by taking a self-assessment. And when I found out what my spiritual gifts were, you know, that really impacted me. It made me feel very secure in who I was, that God had actually given me these gifts. And I didn't need to be jealous of other people who could do other things, because these were the things that God wanted me to do, use the skills that I had. And also, I continued to be involved in Emmaus. I served on several teams, which was important because, as nomadic as we were, we never lived anywhere longer than 5 years. Some of them were three. This was where my long-term relationships were, the people that I served on team with. So then we moved to Wells, which is further south here, and I got a job as a home care and hospice nurse. And I really valued my experience in hospice. I felt it was a privilege to be with people as they were dying and to help the families travel this unfamiliar journey. And it really, I really felt like my faith was an important part of that. So I continued to work with Emmaus. In fact, I even went over to Wisconsin and served on one of their teams when they were starting their chapter in the Eastern Fox Valley region. I served as a music leader there. And in church, I I played my guitar and sang in an evening service that we started for every Wednesday. So we had a lot of changes in our household during those years we lived in Springfield, with our daughters each going over to Sweden for an exchange year and two exchange students coming to our home in between times. So when Catherine was over in Sweden, we decided to take a vacation over there for our 25th anniversary. And we ended up being in town when they were having their Minnesota or their Methodist annual conference, and we found out that they were starting an international congregation in Lund, Sweden, which would be ministering in English, not Swedish. So we didn't think anything more of it until Art got a phone call from the Board of Global Ministries, who said, "Do you want to do this? We'd like to appoint you over to Sweden for this international church." So we bought our home in Mankato so that we could leave the girls a place to go when the college was on break, and so we could come back on vacation, and we headed over to Sweden. Unfortunately, when we got there, it was a very challenging situation in that particular congregation, and it took us down mentally, emotionally. But luckily, we were also able to connect with the Swedish Methodist Church in the next town over of Malmö, and they ministered to us, they welcomed us, and they kept us sane, right? And you can see the picture of me. They had a string music choir, which was mostly guitars and I think probably some fiddles or something. And we performed a worship, and we even traveled around to some of the other churches and played in their other churches. The other thing in this time of Sweden, I was trying to get my nursing license, but since I didn't have it, I ended up working part-time as a PCA for a young adult woman who was nonverbal and needed help with all her personal care. And I discovered that's not what I like to do. I'm not good at doing monologues in Swedish for 6 hours at a time. But the really helpful thing that I learned there was her mother, her mother was just really good, and she taught me about how it looks to see staff living coming in your house all the time because of one of your family members needing help. And that gave me a much more empathic view of my role than in her home, and that has served me well since then. So then we ended up coming home after 2 years, and we went to serve on the women's walk. We had actually been recruited before we flew home. And this was a very, very healing experience for us, because we were both wondering, are we even good enough to serve on the team anymore, you know? And they had no qualms about working with us, and just the walk to Emmaus, which is just showers love on people, was good. But because of having gone through this episode of, you know, mental health, depression, dysthymia, whatever it was, I don't know, but it wasn't good. But it gave me an understanding of how other people can be dealing with that too, because I'd never really realized how mental health affected people's actual lives. So that was a very helpful insight for me. When we got back, then I explored parish nursing and found out that some of the things that are helpful to be a parish nurse are to know pediatric nursing and mental health nursing. I saw an opening at the Lake Crystal Welcome Memorial School for a school nurse, so I decided to apply and I got hired there. And after 2 years, my contract wasn't renewed, but I learned a lot along the way that did help me later. And I also learned that pediatric nursing is not my thing. So then we moved back. Then I actually was still in Mankato, right? And right after the end of the school year, I saw this ad in the paper for a waiver case manager at Nicollet County. And when they interviewed me, I told them, you know, with all the nursing roles I've had through my career, this is like the perfect job for me. I can do all this. And it really was a great job. And the first time I actually used my public health nurse license that I'd paid $25 for when I graduated. And I also could understand why they didn't want to hire me in WIC right after I graduated. So, but it, you know, it's a kind of a crazy path that God took me on, all these different places and different roles. And that's why I love being in my 60s, because I can look back and I can see God's hands in the crazy twists and turns of my life and how he pulls it all together. When I was a waiver case manager, I worked exclusively with clients who were on medical assistance, which is welfare, health insurance, and I'd never really worked with this population. I experienced clients who were dealing with chronic mental illness, people who had affordable housing needs, children with disabilities and their families, and people whose elderly loved ones were needing support and they were needing to get help and didn't know where to go. I listened to stories. I learned to serve and empathize. I learned to advocate and support. I learned to love the people living on the margins and want the best for them. I loved my job, but it changed. There got to be more stress and less fun, especially during the pandemic when I didn't get to see any of my coworkers and I didn't get to see my clients, so I decided to retire. But I didn't retire to the rocking chair. I wanted to still live a life of purpose, which I started with quilting, which I'd picked up in when I was a school nurse. I started quilting. So in my retirement, I've been teaching quilting classes. I've been continuing to make a lot of quilts, learning new things, and I've given a lot of quilts away, including this one that Pastor Fred took to Kharkiv, gave it to that church. I've served as a guild president at my quilt guild. So quilting is a very important part of my life. I call it my work. And it's also my passion, I discovered after the fact. So the other aspect of my life that's important right now is social justice, putting my faith into action in the world. So some of the things I do, social justice, I got started because my daughter kept telling me, oh, you want to go to this rally with me? Well, I finally said, well, how are you finding out about these things? Because she'd tell me like 2 hours notice or something. Well, it turns out she was involved in a group called Indivisible, which is in St. Peter, Mankato, as a progressive grassroots organization. So I decided I needed to become more involved, so they put me on the leadership team. Funny how that works, huh? And then we were suggested to go door knocking for Jeff Brand, who serves St. Peter, and he also is my representative. So I got assigned to door knock with the woman who turns out she's an organizer for Faith in Minnesota / Isaiah. So she roped me into Isaiah, willingly, I might add, but she's been challenging me ever since. So I've become very active. You can see me in a picture there going up to the Capitol. I made a quilt, a social justice quilt, that's called It's Up to Us. Our future is up to us. We can't do anything about the circumstances, but we can change the direction by our actions and our prayers. So, and that one will be on display in the Carnegie next month with their juried art exhibition if you want to see it in person. So my motivation for this social justice work ties back to that Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? I have had such privilege and such blessing in my life, and the only thing I can figure out is that God has given me this stability and bandwidth so that I can serve, so I can have time to help other people who are too busy living their lives to be able to advocate for themselves. So I use my gifts of time, communication skills, and experience with working with the healthcare systems, with the people on medical assistance, to help advocate for things in Minnesota that are going to serve people of all economic states and all ethnicities. Okay, so in order to keep balance, I mean, this is kind of exhausting work, right? And I just do it part-time, but I need to have self-care to do that. So I do have a good balance in my life with time with family, time exercising. I've gotten back into daily quiet time through the Bible app, and of course my work, which is quilting, creativity. Yeah, I've become an artist, I think, actually. So I just want you to think about, you know, what's your life like? What gifts has God given you, and how can you use them to serve God? One story I want to tell you about my gift, I guess this would be music, or just using a gift. The story of the talents. Remember the guy who got five talents? God gave him five more, or the shop owner, whatever it was. But I've seen this happen in my life. Back when we lived in Renville and I played special music on my guitar, I mean, I wasn't a great singer or a great player or anything, but the guy who managed the recording the service, that was before the actual tech booth happened, he told me later, many years later, that he had put my songs that I'd sung on a tape and he listened to it at home and it ministered to him. And that just floored me to think that God could use my minimal musical skills. But I guess the way I figure it is that if I offer my skills to God, God like puts some sort of a spiritual filter into it so that by the time the person hears it, it's spiritual and it hits them in a way that God wants it to hit them. So I guess I've always seen that, you know, when I quilt, give quilts away, you know, to bless other people, God blesses me with the ability to make more quilts or better quilts or something like that. So I just really have felt in my life that God, when I use my gifts, God blesses me too. So I would encourage you to like follow your heart and use your gifts to take action to serve others the way that seems the most natural to you, because that's likely where your gifts are. And if you look around, you'll see, I see people with all sorts of different gifts in front of me here. And so if you're not sure of what your gifts are, you could talk to somebody else who knows you, because they can probably tell what your gifts are. So Pastor Matt and I have been talking about social justice for a while now, and he invited me to come talk about it with you guys here. He's involved in some of the Isaiah clergy events, and as I said, I've been working with Isaiah. Just to give you a little bit of a better idea of what that organization is, they describe themselves on their website. Throughout history, ordinary people have stood together to make long-lasting changes for the common good. Isaiah is auto mechanics and ordained clergy, business owners and bookkeepers, homemakers and university professors, and I might add a lot of retired people. We are moved by faith to act for justice. We are called to transform the world and to establish racial and economic justice. So in my time working with Isaiah, I have come to understand how important people power is to get our communities looking the way we want them to look. And that you don't have to be hardcore like I am. You know, there's a lot of ways that people can put their faith into action that are much less involved. You can, you know, just write an email to your representative. You can just talk to a neighbor about something that's important to you. There's a place for everyone to be able to work towards the common good in the, you know, working through this Isaiah. And I would love to have some people join me in this work. They support efforts to such things that were passed last year's support of affordable child care, moving towards that. We're working towards health care for all. We're working toward climate justice, affordable housing, you know, to name a few things. And I would love to talk to any of you about this. I'm hoping and planning that sometime in the not too distant future, the organizer Catherine Losada that I've been working with will come here and we'll be able to share a more formal way of informing you about what the work of Isaiah is, to see if you're interested. So that's my faith journey, all 66 years of it. as an example, the last slide is one of our Isaiah meetings on Zoom where we were doing jazz hands for something or another. Let's close with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for Hilltop United Methodist Church and how you've used its members for decades to shine their light here in Mankato and beyond. Thank you for the big and small ways you are at work in our lives still today. Thank you for the various spiritual gifts you've given us, and help us to be more and more aware of ways you're nudging us to grow our faith. Stretch us to part of your effort to create a more just society as Jesus modeled, by breaking down barriers which hold people back from living lives of abundance.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Don't forget to visit us online at mankatohilltop.org.